coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show with me, Екатерина Кудошкина. The town of Ferguson, Missouri, has made its way back to headlines. Earlier this week, it was swept by the weekend of resistance protests. Now, all eyes are on the grand jury, which needs to determine whether criminal charges should be brought against a white police officer, Darren Wilson, who fatally shot unarmed African-American teenager Michael Brown back August. The shooting triggered violent protests that rocked the town for weeks. Now, with more details about the protests and the case itself, here is Susan W. McGraw, Associate Professor at the Criminal Defense Clinic, St. Louis University School of Law.
Over just the past couple of days, there was an event called Ferguson October, and it was organized by many of the groups that are working, have been working in St. Louis after the shooting of an unarmed black teenager by the police in Ferguson, Missouri. But Ferguson, Missouri is just a suburb of St. Louis. And this young man was shot, and there have been protests. Well, it's been about 65 days since that happened. And last weekend, the different groups put together this Ferguson October. And it involved protest marches and educational programs, rallies, music, a number of different activities. This last Monday, a couple days ago, was a day of civil disobedience. And there were several kind of pop-up rallies, demonstrations, and protests all over St. Louis and Ferguson.
But when we're talking about what's been happening there, I mean, is it an isolated case for the United States, or is it just that this is the case which made it to mainstream media, and there are other cases?
There are other cases. This year alone in St. Louis, there have been 5 homicides of young black men by the police, which is not to say, you know, give any opinion on whether or not police were justified. But that's an incredibly high number of young men killed by police officers in a city the size of St. Louis. So this is not a one-time problem. The United States justice system has been plagued by allegations of institutionalized racism for years and years. But this was seen as such an egregious case that it really sparked a fire in the St. Louis community and other communities in the United States.
Why has this actually happened in St. Louis and Ferguson? Why has it become so bad?
Well, because I do agree that it reflects a much deeper problem. The police are enforcing laws in a way that unfairly burden poor people and people of color. And that has a lot to do, I think, with poverty and inequality of wealth. There's something called racial profiling that we see all over the United States, which is that police stop and, you know, ask questions of and kind of harass people of color at a very high frequency. I think it's part of, you know, a larger movement where people are realizing that in order to get their voices heard, they can't take normal channels anymore. That some or most legal channels are closed to people who are poor. And so they're starting to realize from watching other examples that protesting and shutting down streets and creating commotion is a good way to draw attention to the problems that they face.
Our guest speaker is Susan McGraw, Associate Professor at the Criminal Defense Clinic, St. Louis University School of Law.
Burning Point.
Well, has it worked until now? Have they been heard?
I mean, they've not only been heard locally, they've been heard nationally, and they're being heard internationally. And so you can't say that it didn't work.
But if we recall the Occupy movement several years ago, I remember that those demonstrations and protests have been actually dealt with in a pretty decisive manner, let's say so, and nothing seems to have changed. But on the other hand, I don't remember these young people having a clear agenda. Am I correct?
Right. And the people who are protesting have, I think, a relatively clear agenda. I mean, number one on their list is they want the police officer who shot this young man, whose name is Michael Brown, brought to justice. They want to see him charged with a crime. They see this as a symptom of police brutality, and they want to see him charged with a crime for shooting an unarmed man. They have other demands, like a civilian review board, which would mean that if police officers do things like this, it will be handled by a board of people who are not police officers. That would give more transparency to the goings-on of the police department, which people feel to be a problem.
Susan, tell me, you've also been telling me that, as far as I understand, that a racial issue has somehow come to the fore in police dealing with protesters and with people. Could it be one of the implications of the global war on radical Islam?
I don't think so, except for the fact that there has been increased police surveillance in the United States and a loss of privacy, which some could attribute to, you know, the dealings the United States have had with some of the more radical Islam groups. That would be the closest that I could come. There might be people who would see a closer link, but I do think since 9/11, we've lost more and more of our privacy rights in the United States. And people have really used what happened then as an excuse to broaden police powers.
Then what is your explanation? How would you explain the racial issue coming up?
Oh, I think, you know, I've been a lawyer for 25 years. And people who are people of color, black people or Hispanic people, get targeted by the police. You know, a group of young African-American men walking down the street are, you know, much, much more likely to be stopped by the police and asked about what they're doing and maybe searched or arrested than a group of Caucasian people doing the same thing. I mean, I don't think that there's any doubt that that's happening in the United States.
Why would the police become so uneasy about those guys? Do they have any real grounds to be so uneasy?
No, I don't think they have grounds to be so uneasy, but I think that poor areas are populated by people of color in a lot of urban areas. I think that in order to demonstrate that they're doing something about crime, that they've decided that intensive policing in areas where there's people of color and poor people will produce results. These are also the people who don't have access to legal resources to fight back or defend themselves. So I think they've been kind of easy pickings for the police.
Well, in its turn, like you're saying, that actually creates more tension within the society, and the tension might one day explode.
Yeah, I mean, that is the real issue here, is that no one knows what's going to happen, whether this police officer, whose name is Darren Wilson, is going to be charged with a crime. And everybody is very, very concerned that if he's not charged with a crime, that the violence is really going to escalate. That's a very big concern in St. Louis.
But as an expert, do you see any kind of solution on the national level to the problem?
Well, on a national level, I see that what we need to start doing is change the way that our police are treating people of color. And I think that's something that has already sparked a number of nationwide discussions. I think that the Attorney General here, Eric Holder, has really started to begin a process of not decriminalizing, but changing the criminal penalties for minor offenses that have resulted in an over-incarceration of people of color. For example, you know, our drug laws have been changed. Mandatory sentences are beginning to change. And that's the kind of thing we need to see just to start to study how to take racism out of our criminal justice system.
This is Burning Point. We're looking into the underlying causes of Ferguson unrest. Our guest speaker is Susan McGraw, Associate Professor at the Criminal Defense Clinic, St. Louis University School of Law. Could the media do something about that?
I think the media are. The media have been terrific in St. Louis and other places, showing the protesters, helping them voice their concerns on a national level, covering some of the inequities in our system and, you know, broadcasting stories of people who have been either wrongfully incarcerated or otherwise treated unjustly. So I think that we've been really pleased with the media coverage.
So your forecast?
Boy, I don't know. I'd like to believe that this is going to lead to some real changes. No one is going to know what will happen until we know whether or not Ciaran Wilson, the police officer, gets charged with a crime. So much is going to hang on that. And, I'm one of a number of people who are fearful about what will happen if he's not charged with a crime.
Well, but if he is charged with a crime, do you think that the problem would go?
I hope not, because this is a bigger problem. I mean, we've been seeing this for years and years. You know, the homicide of Michael Brown really just brought everything to its boiling point. But I would hope that conversations about removing institutionalized racism from our criminal justice system would continue. And I'm hopeful that it will.
Susan, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Susan W. McGraw, Associate Professor at the Criminal Defense Clinic, St. Louis University School of Law.
Burning point.
So, once again, what could be the underlying causes of the Ferguson unrest? We are revisiting the issue with our next guest speaker, Alexander Petrov, based with the Center for North American Studies at the Institute of World History at the Russian Academy of Sciences.
Actually, I think that what we are seeing right now in the United States, it's quite a serious issue and quite a serious problem, because that's basically the second major accident after the events in Los Angeles. And before that, if we actually think even in longer terms, that's in the Civil War context, that's the division between South and North, and the problems of slavery and other issues. And we actually need to think, actually, to find real roots on the conflict. In my opinion, what's going on in the United States, in Ferguson, in St. Louis, and in other places, means that the United States needed to find a solution on regarding the relationship between different categories of people, different levels of education, different understanding, different ways of behavior. So that's the issues that still have to be solved.
Why do we witness this kind of major crisis? I don't know, the privilege of mass media, which have covered it so extensively. Is it something targeting Mr. Obama himself?
Well, in my opinion, the situation in Kyrgyzstan hasn't been solved yet. And we actually are witnessing, the problem, because, we have a lack of evidence on what's actually happened with the person who was shot by the policeman, and what's going on with the investigation. And we still have to find the answers. And we also witnessing publication, in many newspapers, not in Russia and other European countries, but also in the United States, for example. Famous newspaper Washington Post published, in my opinion, sort of controversial article trying to find the reasons of how and when and why special forces have to use force, and when and why policemen have to shoot and not to shoot. And what's the difference between the law in this or another state? And should the law state have to be applied in certain cases, or we have to think in federal terms? There are still many issues that we still have to find answers. And that's because we still have these events in Ferguson once again. As soon as we have honest and complete answers to these questions, I think that the situation for Ferguson will be solved.
Are we going to get the answers?
I think in a while, yes. In a longer term, yes. But in a shorter term, we see that President of the United States have major issues to be solved. That's with the international relations in his own country. And in the longer terms, yes, but in the shorter terms, I think that we have to wait.
Dr. Petrov, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker this time was Alexander Petrov, based with the Center for North American Studies at the Institute of World History, Russian Academy of Sciences. Well, and for this, we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Yekaterina Kudoshkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.